Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've been to a museum lately and seen perhaps a blank space or maybe an exhibit covered up, the reason may be NAGPRA. What is NAGPRA? Well, joining us is Brady Wolf. He's the curator of Indigenous Collections at the Missouri Historical Society. What is NAGPRA, Brady?
NAGPRA is the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, which is a piece of human rights legislation passed by the federal government in November of 1990 that basically dictates the repatriation of indigenous human remains, who we more respectfully refer to as ancestors, sacred objects, objects of cultural patrimony, and funerary objects.
So it's been around since 1990, but
correct.
I would assume that a lot of people are not familiar with it, because I was not. And then I was fascinated with, oh, wow. So why are we seeming to hear more about it lately?
Yeah. So in January of this year, there were some new regulations published that essentially started the timeline of NAGPRA over. So the next 5 years, a lot of museums, are like ourselves, are going to be taking it from the top, so to speak, and kind of going through the processes that we began in 1990 and try and do a more thorough and equitable job this time around. Some museums will be doing it for the first time. Some museums have never stopped since 1990. The breadth of a museum's collection has a great effect on how long the work takes. And like many things involving federal law, a lot of the mechanisms are very slow. So some folks have given it a very earnest attempt in the past 30 years, and some folks have kind of dodged it. Because it affects the entire nation, there's an enormous variance in how people comply with it and how long it takes. And so basically these new regulations were an attempt to get everyone on the same page in a more uniform timeline and have a more democratic and equitable approach to NAGPRA compliance.
The Missouri History Museum has the Kiowa Ledgers, which is fascinating. Can you tell us what those are and what's happening to them?
Yes. So ledger art is a style of art that evolved in the late 19th century, essentially as a result of contact between settlers and indigenous people on the plains. The style of art that you would see in ledger drawings existed for centuries, but was more often performed in traditional methods on hides or other mediums. And as the settler expansion increased and populations of buffalo decreased, the tribes were basically forced to come up with new ways to preserve this artistic tradition and had new mediums available, like colored pencils and abundant paper supplies from the settlers who were increasingly encroaching on their territory. The ledger drawings we have are a result of Kiowa warriors being taken prisoner after the Red River War, which took place from 1874 to 1875 on the southern plains. The warriors were taken as prisoner and held without trial and were, in essence, asked, quote-unquote, forced under duress to create art objects, ledger drawings, beadwork, making arrows and bows, things like that, basically to create ethnographic items at the behest of private collectors or Smithsonian representatives or individual prison guards, sometimes for money, allegedly, sometimes not. I couldn't point to a person who, a prisoner of war who got to keep their money and got, you know,
sounds like tourist trinkets.
Yes,
they were forced
right,
to make.
Exactly. They were basically being propositioned while in prison, so under duress, to make stereotypically planed items. So the ledger art we have is, we have two sets, one from a warrior named Woha, and the other from an unnamed warrior. And they depict scenes of village life, internal turmoil, political upheaval, relationships, spirituality, things and topics that are pretty universal in a two-dimensional art medium, but their value to the Kiowa is immense as it captures these sort of a real snapshots of a moments in time of this transitional period of the end of a sovereign nation living on the plains to under dominion of the United States.
So were you the one who actually reached out to the Kiowa to see if they wanted this, or how does that process work?
Yeah, so there is a gentleman in California whose career is largely on preserving, interpreting, and publishing ledger art. And he reached out to us a year or two ago. There is an upcoming exhibit in their museum, the Menge Museum, I believe. And they knew the Woha ledger drawings are very well known. And so they reached out to us and asked if we would loan several of them for display. My peers had the good foresight to kind of wait and see what would be appropriate for display. You know, as far as best practices go, and with the new regulations published, what is appropriate for display really should be determined by the tribes. It's not for us to kind of autocratically pick and choose what is and is not good for the public to see. Shortly after I came on board, we talked it out as a team, and everyone was in favor of seeing simply just what the Kiowa thought was best, as it is, we believe, theirs. We reached out to the Kiowa, the TIPO, which is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer, and basically said, hey, we have this loan in the works. And they were aware. They had signed a letter of support. They know about the show, the museum, et cetera. I said, you know, we can finalize this loan, or we could just give it back to you all. I asked just very simply in a conversation, and they were very happy that we had that as an option. And I asked if they wanted to pursue it through NAGPRA or simply as a deaccession and transfer. And they chose the latter because the mechanisms of NAGPRA can take a long time, and they've been waiting for over a century to get these drawings back home. And so we basically have gone through the internal museum process of deaccessioning these items, which was just completed last week, actually, thankfully. And so next week, we will be transporting them personally to the Kiowa. They are having a celebration of ledger art sponsored by the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City. And so serendipitously, all the timing kind of worked out. And so we will be delivering it to them in person just in time for this celebration of ledger art. So we will actually get to get it to them and be, you know, with them for that moment. So it is all the stars have kind of aligned for us on this one. It has, you know, kicked in recently, but it is something that's been in the works for years.
Some people listening may be thinking, well, why do we need to do this? Why is this important? And I was kind of thinking about how Egypt, for example, has been trying to reclaim things mm-hmm. that people have plundered from their country over the centuries. Like, hey, that's our history and we would like it back. Is that kind of an equivalent, you think?
Yeah, very much so. So during the formative slash dark days of archaeology, it was basically a pastime for gentlemen of leisure who could afford to sort of gallivant around and essentially take what they want. Some folks tried early forms of social science, and other people simply were grave robbers looking for quote-unquote treasure. A lot of museums are cleaning up their mess, so to speak, and it has been easy for a lot of people to dismiss native claims of ownership and sovereignty over these items because of our country's colonial framework. So when we talk about theft of cultural heritage, like the Elgin marbles or the Benin bronzes, there are some very distinct parallels to our own history. There is a century or more of precedent for United States government officials, independent anthropologists, academics, art collectors, etc., looting and plundering indigenous cultural heritage, and then resisting any claims to get it back to the tribes of origin, essentially. So NAGPRA was the result of decades of civil rights activism and expanded on laws that were already in place, like the Archaeological Resources Protection Act. Indigenous communities were very intentionally left out of the conversation and were not essentially allowed to have any input on the ownership, stewardship, and return of their own cultural heritage.
Brady Wolf is the curator of Indigenous Collections for the Missouri Historical Society, joining us on KMOX.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.